Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 24/7, Brad Crawford joins us now. He has 18 bold SEC predictions for the 2018 season. A lot of these are very fun and interesting. Brad, what's going on this morning?
Hey, thanks for having me this morning, man. I'm kind of upset that spring games and spring practice is over, and now we get 3 months of a whole lot of nothing.
As we mentioned earlier, though, at least, you know, we're closer to the start of the next season than we are to the end of the last season, so I guess that's a positive, huh?
Yeah, very much so, and it's also, you know, preseason, poll season, projection season, bowl projection season, so as a writer, it can be fun as well.
Mascot rankings. Yeah,
here we are. What are your predictions? Is that Tennessee will upset a top 25 team, splitting games with Florida and South Carolina, which you expect both to be ranked at that point. How does that get done?
Yeah, I think, man, if you look at Tennessee's schedule, you know, there's a path to a 6-6 postseason bowl game for Jeremy Pruitt in his first season. Don't think that opener against West Virginia is winnable based on what West Virginia has coming back on offense. But there's a couple games I'm looking at, though. You know, the Florida game I think is winnable. It's a big home game at Neyland. That'll be a sellout. And also something no one's talking about, that'll be Florida's first true road game with two quarterbacks that they don't have a whole lot of confidence in Felipe Franks and Kyle Trask. That's a winnable game there. The South Carolina road game, that's always a close rivalry between those two teams. And then the game late in the year against Missouri, I think that'll be, you know, a game that Tennessee may have to must win if they do lose to Florida.
What kind of hype will Vanderbilt's game at Notre Dame get?
Oh, man. I mean, both those teams are probably going to be 3-0 heading into that game. And then, you know, the point spread is probably going to be Notre Dame by 24 points. NBC is going to try to hype it as much as they can, though. I know that.
You mentioned Florida and multiple quarterbacks. Even with the coaching change, and this goes, again, along with one of your predictions, will Florida again play three quarterbacks this season?
I think they will. Emory Jones, you know, when he was first signed, I think a lot of us in the industry thought that he'd be a redshirt. But I don't know, man, four-star guy with a lot of talent who, you know, showed some flashes this spring. And really the two guys ahead of him, like I mentioned, Trask and Franks, really haven't separated themselves. I think Dan Mullen would like to redshirt Emory, but if it gets bad and, you know, Florida's heading toward a 500-type season, I think you're going to see Jones play, and he might play a lot.
We're on with Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports, SEC editor. And, Brad, I feel like this is a crazy question, but we must address craziness when we're talking about fans. And the suggestion that a Bama fan says that Saban should be fired, what was their reasoning behind all of that?
Man, can you believe that? Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
I mean, you know, it must be awesome to be a fan of a program when you go 11-1. It's a failure of a season. I mean, that's kind of where we are with Alabama fans right now. But, yeah, man, a lot of Alabama fans think Dabo Sweeney is going to be kind of the head coach in waiting at Alabama, even though Dabo has been asked, you know, 4 or 5 times the last couple of years, you know, what his interest is in taking that job post Saban. And, you know, he said he's very happy at Clemson. But, yeah, this guy says that, you know, a few years from now, Saban's going to be hitting 70. Teams are already negatively recruiting against him because of his age. And, you know, we've heard recruits tell us the same thing. Not that it matters, but, this Bama fan said despite Saban's illustrious legacy at Alabama, he wants him going in 2020, and go ahead and hire Dabo Sweeney.
Must be a tough life there for him. I guess with still sticking with the fan base, which fan base will go into a panic after about the first half of the season, and you're going to say pump the brakes on that, you guys are going to rebound and still finish pretty decent?
That's a tough one. I think LSU fans are kind of going to be sitting on pins and needles throughout the year. One of my bold predictions was LSU is going to beat Miami in that opening game, and then all of a sudden we're going to overhype that team as if it's a national contender. I still see LSU finishing 7-5 this year, despite beating Miami in that opening game. And, you know, it's kind of the same old in Baton Rouge. You know, we don't know who's going to play quarterback there. The defense is going to be strong. And then you look at a few of Ed Orgeron's offseason hires. It's just kind of strange. You know, the OC he hired, kind of an older coach who, hasn't kind of been in the mix in a while. So, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how LSU finishes and if Ed Orgeron's hot seat, becomes scorching in November.
Brad, you said what many of us think, and that is that Joe Moorhead was a home run hire by Mississippi State, and that will become evident quickly.
I think it was, man. This is a season and a schedule for Mississippi State where they could, I think, win 9 games, maybe 10 if they beat a top 10 Auburn or Alabama team. Obviously, Nick Fitzgerald coming back is probably the biggest play there and me taking them to go 9-3, but Joe Moorhead's a guy a lot like Dan Mullen. He's a quarterback guy, tempo and offense driven, and right now Mississippi State has the athletes at that program to run, you know, that kind of scheme. So I do like the Bulldogs, probably a third place finisher in the West, but as far as coaching searches go, Mississippi State did a heck of a job getting Moorhead.
You also said that it's going to be a tough first year for Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think it will be. That's easily one of the SEC's hardest schedules. I think A&M's going to be a pretty good team despite going 7-5. You look at the 5 losses, all of them are probably going to come against ranked teams. And then you have a game against Clemson in week 2. I think one of my predictions was, you know, we're going to see A&M probably score 60 points in the opener, and everybody's going to be happy about Jimbo. And then they might score, you know, 7 to 10 points against Clemson in week 2. So that's a very tough game there. There's probably 3 guaranteed losses on that schedule, and that's not something that we can say too often with A&M.
Yeah, and you really went out on a limb there on Alabama, didn't you?
Man, listen, this is Bama's easiest schedule possibly in the Saban era. You know, that Louisville game in the opener in Orlando looked sexy a couple years ago when Lamar Jackson was, you know, winning Heismans and stuff, but you know, they've got Juwan Pass. He's going to make his first start against Alabama. And I mean, how about that? Your first collegiate start against the best defense that anybody's ever faced.
And by the way, another one interesting to me, that Drew Lock will overcome the fact that Derek Dooley is his offensive coordinator and have a big year, you know, throwing the ball for Missouri.
Yeah, I think he'll have a big year relative to other SEC quarterbacks play. I think he had 44 touchdown passes last year. I think 30 is going to be enough to probably lead the league in TD passes in that category this year, unless Jarrett Stidham or maybe Tua Tagovailoa does that. But I don't think Missouri's a contender in the SEC East, but I do like Drew Lock putting up numbers once again.
I mean, speaking of the quarterbacks, Brad, I guess tell us who's going to be your top 3 quarterbacks, and is it anyone that we may be surprised of? Because I was watching, you know, Fromm, and I mean, I'm like, man, at Georgia, and I was like, man, the backup guy that was the number one recruited quarterback, he looked pretty good too. Is it? I mean, could there be a change of quarterback or somebody we don't even know of because of an injury, or maybe because they just beat him out that we don't even know of in the SEC?
Yeah, I think Justin Fields is going to play this year in Athens. He's not going to start. I do think Fromm's a better player right now, but not that I have any inside knowledge of how he was recruited by Kirby Smart. But you know, when you sign the top quarterback in the class, there's usually promises made that you're going to play as a true freshman, and I don't think Justin Fields went to Georgia thinking he was going to redshirt or just stay number 2 the entire time. So that'll be pretty interesting to watch there.
Well, give me your top 3 rankings.
Question, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably Tua Tagovailoa is number 1 for me. I think he's going to be a Heisman finalist. I know that's a lot of hype based on us just seeing him in 2 quarters of play, but everything I'm hearing out of Alabama and everything I've seen, man, he's going to be a great player. I think Jake Bentley at South Carolina has a shot at getting that number 2 spot. He's a guy who's already received maybe some first-round buzz for 2019. I've never really seen him as a 3-year player. I don't think he's NFL ready yet, but last year he kind of fought through a shoulder injury and still put up pretty good numbers. And then for that number 3 spot, it's probably Jarrett Stidham at Auburn. If the Tigers, you know, win the SEC West again, it'll be because of Stidham.
Oh, man. So who you think Hurts stays at Alabama?
I think he does for this season, and then probably transfers with no restrictions as a senior. I don't think it benefits Jalen, to be honest with you, to leave this summer. He's going to redshirt somewhere else, and then in 2019 he's pretty much forgotten. Right now, Jalen's not an NFL prospect at the quarterback position, and I think the NFL actually may frown upon him leaving Saban and that well-coached staff there. I think it'll benefit Jalen, though, to stay this season. I think he's going to play if he does stay. And, you know, that's two really good quarterbacks down there in Tuscaloosa.
Brad Crawford from 24/7. Check it out. 18 bold SEC predictions for the 2018 season. Brad, good stuff. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks a bunch, man.